The show was a great success on NBC. It's been on for quite a few years now, and the ironic thing about the show is, unlike a lot of shows that are on for a long time, it actually seems to be getting better with age.
It seems to be getting better and getting more popular. It's amazing. I don't know exactly what it is. I think the writing's been strong, and I think some of the cast changes have kept it fresh in a lot of ways. We certainly try very, very hard to keep the quality up, and God bless them. More and more people are watching.
Now, you've had a long, illustrious career. You've done a lot of things in television and in films and in on Broadway stage. And talking about television just for a moment, you shoot Law & Order in New York. Is that a different set of rules, a different pace than shooting in traditional Los Angeles areas where most of the studios are?
Yes. Several things about New York make it different. One is the pace. The pace is enormously fast. The other is the background of New York City itself. And also the talent pool of the actors that we draw on as our character people. If you look at something like NYPD Blue, which I love Dennis Franz and Jimmy Smits, they're terrific. But you see what they do is they walk down a New York street and then they turn and walk into a building. And once they're inside the building, they're in Los Angeles. Or they drive, you know, they call them drive-ups and walk-ins. So they'll shoot a week's worth of those, and they've got their New York background for the season. But they don't have the New York actors that we get off the street almost, that the gritty look of some people. It's hard to say, but there's an ethnicity about it, too. You know, if we have a Puerto Rican drug dealer, and they have a Puerto Rican drug dealer, this is really a Mexican, you know, because it's L.A., you know. It's like, it's just, everything's a little different. But New York is the greatest backdrop in the world, you know.
Now, as an actor, when you're working on location, is it also a different situation? I mean, I would assume in L.A., everything shoots in L.A., and they're used to seeing crews on the road, and they're kind of blasé about it. But it's not as an everyday occurrence in New York, even though you guys have been there for quite a few years, and other shows like New York Undercover have been there for a few years.
Well, actually, New Yorkers are pretty used to filming on the streets, and they tend to be cooperative, although we've had people walk right between us on the sidewalk in the middle of a take, you know, that are completely unaware of what's going on. But in general, Benjamin Bratt, he calls me the king because, you know, it's not that I know everybody in New York, but I've been there a long time, and any neighborhood we go into, the restaurateurs and the shopkeepers and everybody, "Oh, Jerry, how you doing?" And it's sort of the world is at your feet, you know. It's a very pleasant way to work.
Well, some of your greatest success came on Broadway.
Well, my big breakthrough was the original Fantastics. I originated El Gallo in the Fantastics, and I did Carnival, Promises, Chicago, 42nd Street, some major, major musicals.
So in doing Broadway, and you know the city very well, it seems like you always have to reinvent yourself in that some people know, you know, Jerry Auerbach, the singer, the guy who does Broadway musicals, the guy who does Disney cartoons. And there are those who know Jerry the actor and don't know the other Jerry.
Maybe it's not good to be versatile. I don't know. Maybe I should just stay in one corner. But they pigeonhole you. They pigeonhole you in one place, and they say, "Oh, he's a song and dance man. He does musicals." Then I did a film called Prince of the City for Sidney Lumet, and I started doing cops and gangsters like FX and some other things like that. And they say, "Oh, he's a dramatic actor. He's not funny." Then I do some comedy or Lumiere or something like that, and they say, oh, he's this and he's that. And at some point, I was the song and dance guy who they said, oh, well, he doesn't do straight acting. Then I was the dramatic heavy actor. They said, well, he's not funny. And then I was saying to another guy the other day, Botchko was doing a thing called Cop Rock where the cops sang, and somebody suggested me for it. And they said, oh, we love his work. Does he sing? So you get from one pigeonhole to another. And you do. You have to keep reinventing yourself.
In working in your career over, what, about 40 years, I guess, you've been doing this? If you were a casting agent and you said, I've got the perfect role for Jerry Orbach, what would that role be, knowing what your career has been for the last four decades?
Well, if it was me, you know, I'd say Rhett Butler in The New Gone with the Wind. I don't know. I mean, you know, give me the best role you could think of. My thing has always been what we used to call just acting. They now call character acting. I just did a little movie with Al Pacino called Chinese Coffee, where I'm going to play some. I'll be doing something that nobody's ever seen me do, which I love, is a raging intellectual who's extremely flowery language and bitter critic of writers and things that I've never done anything like, but that I'm capable of doing. Then that's the way I came up, the way I learned. I did Shakespeare, I did Chekhov and Ibsen and Shaw and everything. So that when I do one of these guys, you know, if I do the guy off the street, if I'm doing sort of a Danny Aiello or whatever, that don't mean that's all what I can do, you know? So that's fun for me, is to recreate myself and do different characters, be different people. You know?
Now that you're so associated with Lanny Briscoe, first of all, did you do a lot of research with police officers when you got the role? And now that you had the role for so long, the reaction from actual police officers?
I didn't do a lot of research when I got the role because I had done research for about 30 years. I've known a lot of detectives, a lot of cops, and of course the reaction from them is probably the best part, the greatest reward for this type of show, where the cops on the street say, hey, keep making us look good, you know, which is, to me, the highest form of flattery.
Not too long ago, there was some controversy. I guess it's still ongoing, the whole situation with the ratings for television shows, the way they'll be rated for viewing. And I know that your producer, Dick Wolf, is one of the ones most adamant, and your network is behind him too, most adamant in not caving into some of the rules and regulations that people would like to see enforced on television and how they're going to be rated. How do you feel about the whole controversy?
Well, I think all these letter ratings like violence and sex and strong language and, you know, in the feature films you have PG-17 and R and X, and those seem to work all right because you see the child walking in and buying a ticket. I came home one night many years ago when my older son was about 12 and he was watching the Blue Channel on cable. Well, I told him to turn it off. Parents have to determine that, because if there's 100 channels out there, unless you have some kind of blocker on the set, they're going to watch anything they want unless you tell them not to. I don't think that the rating system is gonna make a hell of a lot of difference in what the kids watch or what they want to watch. I think it's really up to the parents. I mean, if you see somebody's naked behind on NYPD Blue, which I don't really agree with, but okay, they do it now and then. Does that mean that that everybody should turn that show off, that it's appealing to prurient interests, that it's obscene? I don't think so. I mean, I don't agree that they need it, but I also think that language can't really hurt you. Language can't hurt you if it's true to the way people really talk. I hate it when abusive language is used without a reason. But when somebody's angry or somebody has to express themselves the way they really do on the street, fine, doesn't bother me at all. But I think you have to be a grown-up for that. And grown-ups have to watch what the kids watch. They have to tell them no.
Getting back to your show, Law and Order, again, it's successful for so long, and there is a realism to it, there's a grit to it, but the one thing that I often hear about the show, and I'm sure I've heard in interviews with the actors too, is that you don't get much texture from the characters that play the roles. It's more the work and the case involved. Does that make it a little difficult from an actor's point of view?
It does. I think it's not as rewarding for us in terms of Emmy nominations. We don't get to be very emotional. I try to inject some humor into the proceedings, you know, and once in a while we get touched or moved by something when the scripts allow us to. But it is a little cut and dried. It's a little cut and dried. But that's the way police work is, you know. And as long as we're true to it, basically we're saying, you know, what color was the car? How many people were there? What time did he leave? You know, did you ever hear them argue before? All those kind of questions. That's what we have to do. Otherwise, the damn thing is going to get mired down in who did you sleep with last night? And, you know, did you get drunk? And that's not what our show's about.
We know a little bit about Lenny. We know that he's a recovering alcoholic. We know that he's been married several times. But since we don't know a lot about Lenny, do you as an actor have to create in your mind what Lenny's background is to play him? Or is that not even important?
Oh, I create a background for him. Here's my wife now, who's in the background. Yeah, of course, Lenny has a background in my head, but only occasionally does it surface. Like when my daughter showed up last year, and she's going to show up again. There'll be some personal things sneaking their way in a little bit here and there.
With the constant changes of the cast in that show, and it's gone through quite a few over the years, let's look at it from two point of views. One, you came into the show not in the first year, but years later. Was it a warm welcome for you from the rest of the crew? And what's it like when someone new, now that you're a veteran on the show, comes on the program?
It's a very warm welcome. They don't stand by and wait to see if they're going to like you or not. They want to like you, and they want to have you as... It's a team, first of all. It's part of a team, and nobody's really just out for themselves, because if you are, you'll get buried. You'll get buried if you are. You've got to be helping each other out, and I had the warmest kind of welcome right from the beginning. That's the way it's got to be on something like this, where you work 12-hour days and sometimes they go to 15, you know, 16 on a Friday night sometimes. You better like each other.
It is one of the best shows on television. Do you feel you're getting the amount of promotion your show deserves from the network?
We never do. Of course not. You know, Homicide gets tremendous critical acclaim all the time. We're going to do a crossover with them, but Homicide's laying like number 75. We're up there in the 20s, which is great. We don't get the kind of promotion that the sitcoms get, certainly. Because the sitcoms make a lot of money for them. It's must-see TV, except it stops at 10 o'clock. They never, you know, they say, it's Seinfeld, and Matt, you know, it's so-and-so, and then they, and you have to look at the TV, go, oh, yeah, there's Law and Order, too. It comes on after all the fun's over. Yeah, we always feel we don't get enough promotion, but it's the same thing as being a show that's based in New York and saying, well, the L.A. shows get all the nominations for the Emmys, which is generally true because people vote for the things that give them work, and most of the work is out there. But this year, maybe it'll be Law & Order's turn. The show's up for an Emmy, so...
I find it ironic that you probably get some of your best promotion on another network, A&E.
That's right. Well, that's they don't compete with us. That's a nice cable network, and I think that people who at 3 in the morning or something, or 1 in the afternoon, flip on A&E, and they see an older episode of Law & Order, it may lead them to watch it on the network. And they say, oh, gee, I never watched this before. Let me check it out at Wednesday at 10. You know, so it helps us.
Do you get a chance to spread your wings a little bit and do other things besides Law & Order during your hiatus, for instance?
Well, mostly I've just wanted to lay down and rest, but this year I did this movie, Chinese Coffee, with Al Pacino, that Al directing, and it's basically a two-character piece, just the two of us, so it's pretty exciting.
I thank you very much for talking to us.
My pleasure.